Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
Hi, I'm Paul Jacobson, a Baroque flutist, play with 18th century ensembles, orchestras, and chamber ensembles. I'm also a composer for the church and have come to Holden Village with my wife, who is teaching, and with two 10-year-old grandkids. So it's a busy week. I'm here because of my love of hymnody, and I've been doing some sessions on hymnody and the transformations we find in hymnody. Specifically, what affected our tradition as Lutherans singing the hymns, ancient and modern, from the time of Martin Luther and on. And actually, it's a very long, long tradition, which predates Martin Luther by perhaps two millennia. Hymnody and the transformation of hymnody over the ages, looking backwards and looking forwards. And it's a study of hymns. It's the digging into hymns from every possible angle of where they came from, where they're going, how they're constructed. And so the transformation of hymns is one aspect of the study of hymns or hymnody. So I'm going to talk about a transformation in one particular hymn, an Easter hymn, "The Strife is O'er, the Battle is Done." And I've always been curious about this hymn because it gives the music as coming from the pen of Giovanni Pierluigi da Palestrina, the famous Renaissance composer in the 16th century, contemporaneous with Martin Luther himself, in fact. I've talked with my classes the last couple of days about a couple of things to keep in mind about hymnody, and one is that when we sing the hymns, we are, in a sense, exercising the third article of the Apostles' Creed, where it says, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints." And in a sense, singing hymns is our joining in with a communion of saints from all cultures and all ages of the Christian church, Christian traditions from all over the world, because we're influenced by all of those. And this particular hymn certainly is, and we'll get into that. Secondly, I brought up the word today. The word to take home is the word contrafactum. Contrafactum, it's always useful to have some curious words in your vocabulary, and contrafactum is one of those words. It means a song or a hymn which has a text that replaces the original text on the tune. So, a text substitution, one of which we are very familiar, is the National Anthem, a very famous contrafactum, because Francis Scott Key composed the words, but he put them to an old folk song, a folk song with a very wide range, I might add. But he did not compose the music, so the National Anthem is a contrafactum. Likewise, "The Strife is O'er, the Battle is Done" is a contrafactum, and we're going to trace its roots as quickly as we can. You might remember that the main part of the tune, it starts with Alleluias, but the main part of the tune goes like this. "The strife is o'er, the battle won. Now is the victor's triumph won. Now be the song of praise begun. Alleluia." Now, that didn't sound too Palestrina-esque to me, because I always think of Palestrina as these glorious, polyphonic, multi-layered, complex compositions that float around in the dome of cathedrals. So, looking into this, found that Palestrina wrote eight... let me back up a little bit. Palestrina is not Palestrina. He is Giovanni Pierluigi, and he comes from the town of Palestrina. He's Da Palestrina, D-A Palestrina. But we know him affectionately by the name of his town, Palestrina. And he was thick with the church there, and when the bishop of Palestrina moved to Rome and became the pope, he brought Palestrina with him to be the master of the chapel at St. John the Lateran and several other places, and Palestrina became very much a go-to composer, and in fact elevated the art of writing polyphonic music, so that when we talk about the Renaissance and music, we talk about the Palestrina style. He kind of defined the multi-layered polyphonic style of the Renaissance. He wrote eight Magnificats based upon the one each for the eight psalm tones of the Catholic Church, those psalm tones were established by Pope Gregory I, 1,000 years before Palestrina, and had become codified as how you sing the psalms. And he wrote a Magnificat on the third tone of these eight Magnificats, and the third tone sounds like this. If I were to sing the first verse of the first psalm in the ELW on this tune, it would sound like this. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor in the seats of the scornful. A very simple tone. When he composed this Magnificat, four Vespers, Magnificats are always for the Vesper service, on this tone, it was all complicated, polytonal, and gorgeous. I wish I could play you one, because they are recorded by marvelous choirs, but all of the Magnificats end with a Gloria Patri. And so I'm going to play for you the Gloria Patri. I might even try to sing it, but I'll play it first. The Gloria Patri from the Magnificat based on the third tone by Palestrina, by Giovanni Pierluigi da Palestrina. Gloria Patri et Filii. Hymns are transformed through the ages. Music is transformed through the ages, and each age builds upon the music and the texts and the ideas of a previous age, and this is certainly true of the church. So we have this rhythm and melody. And it probably was done at St. John the Lateran and various churches through the ages, but then as Palestrina fell out of style, it was forgotten. Until two English blokes, Monk and Pott, end of the 19th century, rediscovered it and transformed it for a collection of hymns for the Anglican Church called Hymns Ancient and Modern. And they did this to it. They, first of all, added a whole new text for it, based upon the Easter story. They made it a narrative, not just a Gloria Patri, but a whole narrative, no Gloria Patri at all, and they added an Alleluia to it. So it goes now, as we said, the strife is o'er, the battle done, now is the victor's triumph won. Now be the song of praise begun, Alleluia. And that adding the Alleluia to the end of it, that wasn't Palestrina's idea, that was the idea of the text writer Pott and the tune writer Monk, who collaborated on this wonderful piece of music. And the Alleluia comes from an old German tradition of folk hymns called Liza. And Liza is not like Liza Minnelli or Liza Doolittle, but rather Kyrie Eleison. And the Eleison might have been pronounced, was abbreviated to Kyrie Eleis, or sometimes pronounced in German in the Middle Ages, Kyrie Eleis. And then Lice was given the that gave him the nickname for the tunes as Liza hymns. And the Liza, Kyrie Eleis, sometimes instead of Kyrie Eleis, turned into Alleluia, because it's the same number of syllables. So they thought, hey, it's Easter, that's not enough Alleluias. So they added a bunch of Alleluias to establish it. And so the transformation of the whole hymn ended up with a threefold Alleluia at the beginning and the end. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Now into the Gloria Patri, turned into the Strife is O'er. The strife is o'er, the battle done, now is the victor's triumph won. Now be the strong of praise begun. Alleluia. Then for good measure, ending with Alleluia. And so we have the Contrafactum, which is the transformation of medieval Gregory the First psalm tones into a Magnificat and a Gloria Patri by Palestrina in the early part of the 16th century, about the time that Martin Luther was active, lost and finally resurrected as a transformed hymn in the English tradition, hymns ancient and modern, close to the end of the 19th century, and then brought in to Lutheran hymnals in the 20th century, and we are lucky to have it in the ELW. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information, or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.